Our gospel this morning serves as our sermon text in Luke chapter 1, the first four verses. Many have undertaken to compile an account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, an account like those handed down to us by those who were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word from the beginning. For this reason, it seemed good to me also, since I followed everything closely from the beginning, to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of things you were taught. The Gospel of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where were you? Where were you when that thing happened that made it seem like I couldn't depend on you? Have those words ever been spoken to you? Maybe someone was hurt. Maybe someone was frustrated. Maybe someone loves the words you have to say in times of strife or sorrow. Maybe someone knows your abilities so well that they need you for just one thing or another. And maybe when they needed you, you just couldn't be there. Or you forgot to be there. Or you meant to be there and other things took place. Where was St. Luke? Where was St. Luke when Jesus was preaching and teaching, dying and rising? The answer? We don't know. We don't know where St. Luke was. He doesn't really show up in his gospel at all, his record of the events of Jesus teaching, preaching, dying, and rising. What we do know is that he recorded those events later. We do know that later on he was listening, he was talking, he was compiling, he was recording and writing down. Because we do know that he was very interested in what God did for us. In the fact that Jesus himself came in the flesh, a universal Savior, the Christ of old, Jesus Christ. We may be a little unsettled when we look back at the scriptures and we realize these words are 2,000 years old. Sometimes we may wonder and feel a little confused about the reliability of scriptures, whether we can really depend on their truth. But not today. Not today, because we have the words of the Holy Spirit through the evangelist and doctor, St. Luke. And we have a lot of reassurance just in these first few verses that God made sure these words on paper were something you and I, even now, even in this distant land, in this distant time, we can depend upon them. This was the writer of 52 chapters of the Bible. That's over a quarter of the New Testament. And we rejoice in that fact. We rejoice when we look back at someone like St. Luke that God used to lay his words down, because we know the Lord used the doctor, just as he still uses the doctor to show an interest in Jesus and to give certainty to Theophilus. Let me show you what I mean. This is the only gospel with a formal introduction. And with this formal introduction, Luke reassures us it's true. Jesus died, and he died for you. Now, the original Greek in these first four verses is actually much more complex and uses heightened vocabulary than the rest of the Gospel of Luke, or really the rest of the Gospels for that matter. It rivals the Greek, the difficult Greek of the book of Hebrews, for instance, or 2 Peter. I personally had to look up every other word, and it was rather unfamiliar to fight through these four verses. And it tells you something. It tells you that this wasn't some fool who would be duped into believing fairy tales. It tells us this was someone who was educated and who looked around himself at current events and what was going on in recent history so that he could tie these biblical events to what was going on. Take, for instance, Luke chapter 2 that many of us know so well. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Think of all the historical little facts in there. And while some may dispute it or wonder exactly how that fits with the rest of history, Luke surely wasn't shy about attaching his gospel to history and nailing down geographical places and historical people as it related to the birth of our Savior. Or another one in Luke chapter 3, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. So mindful, so intelligent, really. And if you look at Luke's second book, he writes the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, a sequel to the Gospels. We really see better testimony and fuller information about courtroom proceedings and other things in the first century Roman world than basically any other source in history. If it wasn't for those miracles, then secular historians would just love the book of Acts. Isn't it interesting to you that Luke, as an educated doctor, believed in the miracles? An educated man who wasn't to be duped by this or that thing, yet how interested would he be when he heard tell of people explaining how Jesus healed, how Jesus brought people back to life? How Jesus made the crippled walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and those who had ailing health rejoice in newfound cures and healings? I think Luke would have been intensively interested in all of those things, and I don't need to think about that or wonder. Luke is here to tell us all about those things in the Gospel and in the Acts of the Apostles. What a comfort it is to think about this doctor who went about looking for the details of Jesus' gospel, to share that ministry with us. He even believed the greatest miracle, that Jesus died. And, as Luke says, it was for all the people, that Jesus was a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to God's people, Israel. And then all mankind would see God's salvation. Not just because Jesus brought salvation, not just because Jesus died and rose again, but because it wasn't lost in the annals of history. Because God sent us Luke and the other three gospel writers to record it, so that you and I, if we are interested in Jesus, what he said on the cross, what he preached leading up to his work of salvation, what he suffered for us, the temptations he faced for us, what happened to whom he appeared after the resurrection, we can go and look in the book of Luke. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And he used Luke's occupation to do this. Once upon a time, there was a 911 dispatcher. It's about 6 or 7 years ago, I saw this news bulletin, who was hanging up on people. Someone called in and said someone was going the wrong way on a highway. 911 dispatcher hung up. Someone called in a robbery at a convenience store. The 911 operator hung up not once, but twice. And before the operator hung up the second time, said, "Ain't nobody got time for this. Get real." Who knows how many tragedies took place because that 911 dispatcher didn't do the listening and dispatching that was part of the job. We know that the store manager at the time, at that convenience store, a father of four, was shot and killed. Pretty terrible to think that the professionals were available. There were people ready to help. There was a chance of survival for that store clerk and a chance for rescue and help for others. But they would never get it because that 911 dispatcher didn't relay the events to those who could help. Now, St. Luke wasn't going to let that happen. Not on St. Luke's watch. He wasn't going to let Jesus' ministry, his mission, his work of salvation fall to the pages of history or something that went unwritten. He was going to make sure it was laid down for us. For not just the Jews, not just the powerful and the wealthy, but for those who were sick, for those who were suffering, for those who needed a greater physician, for the sinful. So we also see that Luke wrote to give certainty to Theophilus. In both of his books, St. Luke writes to an individual. He calls him Theophilus. This may have been someone's name. In fact, before he says Theophilus, he describes him and says, "Most excellent." It seems like this is what you would say to an Italian nobleman if you were writing at the time. "Most excellent, Theophilus." He also doesn't give us a whole lot of details about different Italian villages and different Gentile cities. So some people think that Theophilus was maybe some Gentile who was interested, that Luke was closely connected to. However, a lot of people have wondered whether Theophilus was really a particular person. Because you know what the name Theophilus means? It means friend of God, or one who loves God. The Philos at the end means love, like Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And then Theo means for God, admirer or friend of God. So many people wonder if this book wasn't written to anyone who loves God. But that's you and me. You and I don't have to wring our hands and wonder how God feels about us as sinners. You and I don't have to be lost in the guilt and the depths of what we've committed by our very own thoughts, words, and deeds. St. Luke writes to us about a God who loves us. And as someone who's intrinsically interested in these miracles, someone who gives a great deal of attention, you and I get to hear about the medical side of Jesus' ministry, not just for our bodies, but also for our souls. Who would you want to write your Bible? An engineer? A fisherman? Someone who gets in the dirt and works with his or her hands? Would you want a contractor? Would you want someone very wealthy, someone very wise? Would you want someone poor and lowly? Someone who understands a lot of things on direction manual for robotics or machinery or something. or someone who tells it like it is? How about all of those people recorded, compiled and recorded by a physician? That's the beauty of the Gospel of Luke. Where Matthew, Mark, and John might say slice and dice, Luke uses words like incision, surgery, and autopsy. In fact, the word for eyewitnesses in Greek is the basis for our word autopsy. It means to see for oneself. And that's what Luke did. He went and gathered eyewitnesses. Possibly Zechariah the priest had left behind a little diary of how that miraculous birth of John came about. Paul stumbled upon a great deal of information as a missionary, interviewing all kinds of people who may have run into Jesus, and he passed them on to Luke. Maybe Mary shared with St. Luke all of those things that she treasured up in her heart as she adored this miraculous baby Jesus. Of course, Luke, who's in passing called a doctor, as Paul refers to him at the end of the book of Colossians, would be supremely interested in the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And he tells us things about the angels' songs that we wouldn't otherwise know with just the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John. And so, who else would be more interested in 10 lepers being healed? Who else would love to share about all these different events, all these different miracles, the parables of the lost in Luke chapter 15 that you might not get anywhere else? It's true, we could get the story of salvation in all of Christian doctrine if we didn't have the book of Luke and Acts, I think. But the reverse is also true. I think we could get pretty much everything we would need for salvation from the book of Luke and the sequel to the Gospels that he wrote, the book of Acts. And so how is your health? Are you assailed on all sides by the world? Do people tell you, oh, that mumbo-jumbo that you believe in the Bible, those fairy tales, they never happened because that's just really old and no one could ever really verify those things? Are you shamed at work and play because of what you believe? If so, then you fit in with all other believers of all time, including St. Luke. As David writes in Psalm 6, I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. If your enemies of faith cause you to wonder as you look at these things that God has written for you with eyes of faith, if your eyes of faith are weakening because of the onslaught of unbelievers around us, of scorners, of mockers, and those who would shame us just as Jesus was shamed on the cross, then what Dr. Luke wrote is for you. I'd encourage you to take a look, maybe just skim through the book of Luke, or if you read through it word for word, in one sitting, you could certainly accomplish that. It wouldn't take much more than an hour to read what Luke writes in his gospel or in the book of Acts and see what someone who studied in the school of Thucydides or Galen, someone who understand suturing wounds and certainly understood some very basic things about health in his day has to say. Someone who would tell you that Jesus knows what your body needs. Jesus knows how to heal you. But Jesus also knows what your soul needs. And he knows how to draw you to his comfort and how to send his Spirit into your heart. Because that is truly our deepest assurance as we celebrate the life and ministry of St. Luke the Evangelist, the fact that the words he wrote down are the very inspired words of God. No more or less reliable than the rest of the scriptures, you and I can be confident that the Holy Spirit used his experiences And the experience of the eyewitnesses that Luke gathered around himself to show us salvation. Now eventually, Luke, as a loyal friend, would need to be there for St. Paul. As we heard St. Paul write in probably his last letter, 2 Timothy, only Luke was with him. You and I can say, in our darkest of days, if we turn to the book of Luke, Luke is with me. Tradition tells us Luke probably lived a long time, but eventually Luke would need a doctor, not just for his body. You know, we talk about that. We say someone has saved a person's life, but for how long can a doctor save someone's life? Another 10, 20, 30, 40 years so that we can live a full, long, rich life on earth? But even Luke would need the greater physician, the doctor who promises us not just 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, but an everlasting life that starts by faith alone even now. One who promises us life beyond the death that we face now as we look to him with eyes of faith. And thanks to the words of Luke, his doctor is also our doctor. Where were we during Jesus' ministry, life, death, and resurrection? Well, we were no more than a twinkle. And yet, God had thought of us and knew our name. God intended for us to know salvation and wanted to comfort us with his thoughts and his plans before time even began. And what really matters is not where we were when Jesus was dying for us, but where we are now by faith. And that by faith alone, we are ready for Jesus' return again. We'll be able to stand with one another, and we'll be able to stand with St. Luke. In Jesus' name, amen.